And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. You're probably trying to figure out why I'm talking so slow, because I'm stretching out the time on the clock. Our DDD, the first DDD we're going to do today, called Condemning the Innocent. Condemning the Innocent, very difficult devotional diamond of the day. Then we're going to do this other kind of cool thing. We're going to examine the fight behind the fight. Because sometimes things are not as they appear. We're also going to look at a major key for living. Isn't it good to get the good keys for living so you know the best way to live? And then we're going to close it out with the inspirational, empowering truth.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And especially today, prevailing. Politics, especially not today, politics. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise 1210 AM KPRZ.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. An arriving airline passenger pulled a gun from his luggage and opened fire in the baggage claim area at the Fort Lauderdale Airport Friday, killing five people and wounding eight before throwing his weapon down and lying spread eagle on the ground. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel says police have the gunman.
We have the shooter in custody. He's unharmed. No law enforcement fired any shots. The subject is being interviewed by a team of FBI agents and Broward Sheriff's Office homicide detectives.
The suspect's been tentatively identified as Esteban Santiago, who was deployed to Iraq in 2010 and spent a year there with the 130th Engineer Battalion. Santiago's brother says he's been receiving psychiatric care. Florida Governor Rick Scott says justice will be served.
Whoever is responsible will be held accountable to the full extent of the law.
President-elect Trump wants a plan within 90 days of taking office on how to aggressively combat and stop cyber attacks.
After meeting with leaders of U.S. intelligence, the president-elect said more needs to be done to prevent the hacking of government agencies and the private sector. In a written statement, Trump said he has tremendous respect for the intelligence community, describing his meeting as constructive. He said he'll appoint a team to create a plan to combat cyber attacks. Trump also said any hacking by Russia did not affect the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The final count, 304 electoral votes for Donald Trump, 227 for Hillary Clinton, and 7 protest votes for other candidates. The counting of the electoral votes today in a joint session of Congress is the last official act needed to clear the way for Trump's inauguration in 2 weeks. On Wall Street, the Dow by 65 points to close at 19,964. The NASDAQ rose by 33 and the S&P advanced 8. This is SRN News.
Whitefield's ministry supports national pastors starting churches in villages that have no church. places that are difficult to start a church because of extreme poverty or persecution. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. We support these pastors because they already know the language and culture, making them efficient at starting churches in their country. Whitefields provides support so that the pastor can work full-time starting the church that transforms their whole community. They heal broken families, feed hungry children, restore hope, and give purpose to the lost. Many villages in the world are still without a local church.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using helpwantedsandiego.com? Where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job. Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results. Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend helpwantedsandiego.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. Helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience. From K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Couple things to let you know. If you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. I should probably mention that more than one time in a two-hour span. Also, if you want to go to Facebook, The David Spoon Experience, you're welcome to go there. You're welcome to send me a private message, as many people do. And I do want people to know when you leave a message like on my phone or send me an email and you're asking for prayer requests for you and for your family like Esther did, well, I am praying for you for sure, just to let you know. I'm taking a look at the weather. If you're listening to this, it's a rebroadcast and it's dark outside. Doesn't mean the weather's not nice, does it? No, it's nice weather because you don't live in Cleveland. Look at that weather. It's beautiful. Look at that traffic. No, wait. Look at that weather because you don't want to look at the traffic. That'll keep that very simple. My understanding, and Tugboat Todd can correct me. Wow, didn't expect that. I want to make sure, is there supposed to be some more rain tomorrow? Is that what I understand, a little more rain?
That's what I heard over the weekend. There, it's going to be raining.
Yeah, I will tell you, as I was driving into work today, okay, I had to make a stop off on the way. So I was driving into work today. Traffic was a little lighter because a little later. I did notice, I did, that there were patches of bright green grass, which was kind of nice to see after not seeing, you know, things look, you know, maybe all that pretty or all that nice. And it's just nice. It's just like, wow, that's so cool because, you know, green's a lot of life in the color of green. And that's one of the colors that's up at the throne in the center of the universe. So you have to like that.
That's nice. That empty lot over there goes from brown muddy to some grass in it.
Yeah, it has a little flair to it, you know. It's just one of those kind of things. I like stuff like that. Sorry. Let's get into it. And I don't remember if we have any sounds on any of these. I don't think we do. This is some intense material. This is called Condemning the Innocent. And I want to pick up on a story, a communication from the Holy Spirit to us about the life of Jesus Christ and his encounter, as written by the encounter that he had with Matthew. And it comes out of Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. It says this: at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Then the Pharisees saw this, and they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, he and his companions, and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent." Ooh. This is in the realm of faith where our approach to Scripture, I'm not talking about nutsy cuckoo people, I'm just saying our approach to Scripture between certain different denominations that are different can get to be a little dangerous depending on how we defend it. The accusers were the Pharisees who saw the disciples doing something that they considered to be unlawful, though, as Jesus points out through Scripture, that is not entirely the case. Of course, there Jesus is using Scripture to define what those realities are. He doesn't step outside of Scripture. People try to do that all the time. It's like, no, we're not talking about that. When you hear me talking about divisions within the church at large, I'm not talking about people in the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. They don't use Scripture at all. There's nothing in that. Zero. And then the one group that came up and said, "Oh, only the red letters count," which just such a bad statement. It's fine. Okay, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Okay. Because she turned into a pillar of salt after God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. So I will remember that. But anyway, my point in that is to understand that Scripture is being used. Even the Pharisees are trying to use the approach to Scripture, and Jesus is using stories within Scripture to make sure they understand, no, this means this, this means this. But they were doing something that's unique. They were accusing, and then Jesus said, "You would have not condemned the innocent." If you knew what "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," which again is a passage in the Old Testament, Jesus said, "You would have not condemned the innocent." And there's a problem for condemning the innocent. And I'm not talking about people that are objectively. I'm not talking about people that welcomely stand in defiance of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other people who have the same confidence that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior as you do, but look at certain passages or certain approaches differently. And we got to be careful about condemning the innocent. And it would be worthwhile for us to note that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Because in faith, condemning your brother or sister because they see different than you is more spiritual warfare than you may be aware of. And accusing people is more within the same framework of faith. People that believe Jesus is Messiah, accusing them in the faith is more dangerous and more involving spiritual warfare than you might be aware of. Now watch this. Where we're going to go with this is to understand that even forgiveness has an element of spiritual warfare connected to it. And you're thinking, no way. How can forgiveness have spiritual warfare connected to it? You know, when I come back, I'm going to talk about that and show that connection. But the reality is we need to be careful who we condemn. We need to be careful who we point the finger at in amongst brothers and sisters who are genuine brothers and sisters. Got to be careful. I don't know. I don't know what every person is thinking at every point in the Christian realm. But you can tell when you've talked to people for more than 3 or 4 minutes if they actually believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah or not. You're not stupid. It doesn't take a lot to figure out that the Holy Spirit in you has connection to the Holy Spirit in the other person. You know what's going on. Now, I'm not talking about liking people. You know, I'm talking about that connection where you drink of the same spiritual drink, where your Father is the same Heavenly Father, where your blood relatives, because the blood of Jesus Christ is what connects you. And in this context, in this passage, when Jesus is talking, the Pharisees are trying to be accusatory, and they're coming after Jesus' disciples, and they're saying they're not doing the things that are right based on how we see the Scripture. And then Jesus uses the Scripture and says, well, you see this way, but there's other applications. You need to be willing to look at those. Otherwise, you wouldn't be condemning the innocent. And that's really what I want us to make sure we don't do. Somebody that thinks different than you doesn't need to be condemned. We talked about this the other day, and there's a reason that it's gone the entire week this way. There's a big difference between differences and divisions. You want to have differences all day long. Have whatever you want on your pizza. Not a problem. But you won't eat pizza with another person? That's different. Now we've gotten into a different element. In Flagstaff, Arizona, we had all these pastors get together when I was pastoring a church there. And one of the things that we made a commitment to was whether we agreed or disagreed on a theological subject outside of the absolute core that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that salvation is by grace through faith, and that, you know, the process that he died, was buried, and rose again. We all agreed on one other additional principle, and that is we would always be willing to eat cheeseburgers together. If you don't understand that, that's a problem. You need to be able to recognize that the differences do not need to create divisions. In fact, to a certain degree, they can create appreciations. Now, we come back, I want to talk about forgiveness and spiritual warfare and that connection, so I don't want you to go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
When we find Christ, we offer our worship.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by James Banks. Many manger scenes depict the wise men or magi visiting Jesus in Bethlehem at the same time as the shepherds. But according to the Gospel of Matthew, the only place in Scripture where their story is found, the magi showed up later. Jesus was no longer in the manger in a stable at the inn, but in a house. Matthew 2:11 tells us, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Realizing that the Magi's visit happened later than we may think provides a helpful reminder as we begin a new year. Jesus is always worthy of worship. When the holidays are past and we head back to life's everyday routines, we still have someone to celebrate. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, in every season. He has promised to be with us always. Because he is always with us, we can worship him in our hearts every day and trust that he will show himself faithful in the years to come. Just as the Magi sought him, may we seek him too, and worship him wherever we are. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I want to encourage you to go to hisappointment.com if you're looking for a book to read that may encourage you. All proceeds from that purchase goes to more books. Except I have decided this year that I'm going to take $25 or $30 out of that book purchases and get myself a Thai chicken pizza from Lucadia. Mm. What do you think? From Lucadia Pizza.
Well, money spent.
See, that's a good investment because it's good for my mental wellness. And I don't get too many mental – I have many mental days, but not many mental wellness days. I think if I had a Thai chicken pizza, that might help me. That's what I'm thinking. Just being honest, telling everybody how it goes. I just figured it's easier that way. Then I won't have to figure it out later. If you want to reach the show, davidsmoon at kprz.com. So we started talking about the Pharisees condemning the innocent being, they're pretty legalistic. But there's this idea that, differences need to be divisions. And those are not the same words, obviously. One has to do with distinctives. One has to do with detachments. But I wanted to get into this core element, and I want you to be aware of it because throughout the entire year, this is going to be part of the ministry that we're involved with here at K-Praise throughout 2017. It's going to come out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And this is really important. So if you are a Christian and you have encountered people and you have any idea what spiritual warfare is, you will appreciate where we go in this, I hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have done so in the sight of Jesus Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Now I want you to get that. This is 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, where Paul, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, connects forgiveness and Satan and Satan's schemes. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You see, the reason that we might differ for one another is it's a multitude of reasons. It could be your upbringing. It could be somewhere that you've gone to. It could be as the Lord has led you through it. It's kind of like what you became. Or this might be who you study. It might be where you attend fellowship. It could be partly to do with where you live in the sense of how you might view a certain point of view. All of that's fine, and nobody seems to really care. At least in Scripture, it doesn't seem to be like that's the big issue. But the real big issue is that Satan is at work seeking to outwit us. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that he has strategies that he's using against us. And in fact, in the Greek where it says we are not unaware of his schemes, those are, in fact, that word is strategies. And Satan has a strategy against people in the church amongst people in the church. And you might be, well, what kind of strategy does he have? Well, he has this strategy of us trying to encourage us to operate in unforgiveness. That's part of his strategy. That's part of his plan. in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. When we hold on to anger, when we hold on to this bitterness or this element in us that's, you know, that this anger, it grabs a hold of us. And then Satan gets to use it. It's not that anger is a sin, but unchecked, undirect, unsubmitted anger can fester into a whole bunch of messes. And you can go from anger to sin in a wink. And you do that by keeping the anger. It says, if you, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, which is saying don't hold on to that anger. And it's the devil who's trying to get the foothold in our lives to get us to hold on to anger against one another, against ourselves. And yes, I know people hate to hear this, but yes, in some cases, people do that towards the Lord. Is it justified? No. But do they do it? Sure. Of course they do. Otherwise, there would be no concept of complaining against the Lord, yet people complain against God all the time. So part of Satan's schemes is for us to stay in this unforgiveness place. It's one of the tactics that he uses against you and I. You might, tell me if this is true. I promise when I say this to you, you will recognize this immediately. Do you recognize who the hardest people are for you to forgive? It's often the people who are closest to you, because you expect the most from them, and when they do something wrong, you're just like, your world blows up. You're like, blah, what the, what, how can that, oh, ah, and you don't know what to say. But if somebody does something wrong and you don't know them, you're like, here's my Christian charity, I forgive you. It's like, yeah, but the person that you're closest to, husbands to wives and wives to husbands, have you ever seen less forgiveness operate than in that place? I think that's the number one place where the lack of forgiveness prevails. There's ministries now in Christian churches that use forgiveness as the process of redemption between a husband and wife who have strife in their counselings. They use forgiveness therapy. Here's the therapy. Be like Jesus, act like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, or God will be mad at you. How about that? That's great therapy. You want to go around having God mad at you? Terrible idea, right? That's awful, right? But forgiveness is a powerful tool. So if it's a powerful tool, removing that tool would be a good strategy from the enemy. Forgiveness breaks down so many things and gives little opportunity. It's like, okay, that's, you know, I forgive you. That's over. And by the way, forgiveness is not, I forgive you, but I haven't forgotten, and I've got my left eyeball on you, and if you make another mistake, I've got a hammer. That's not forgiveness, people. If God did that to you, you would be dead. Forgiveness is letting it go. Forgiveness, in case you want to know, is keeping no record. That when people go, well, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget, that's not forgiveness. Just use another word. Maybe you're going to say, I'm going to give you renter's forgiveness or something, because you're not actually giving them forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness is not keeping a record. When you say, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to watch every move you make now. You know, it's like, I understand that. But when you got that between a husband and a wife, that's called no trust. That's not called trust. That's not called therapy. That's called disaster. And then you try and figure out why the kids are messed up. Well, that would be it. So the understanding here is for us to recognize that Satan uses unforgiveness in his warfare against us. And if he can get us to buy into unforgiveness towards one another and towards ourselves, he's winning the tactical war. After all, if God didn't forgive you, you wouldn't be part of his family. And if he held it over your head, you'd be in the family, out of the family, in the family, out of the family, in the family, out of the family. I'm pretty sure that's not the idea God has as a perfect parent. Now you're in my family. Now you're in my will. Now you're out of my will. Now you're in my will. Now you're out of my will. That's the wrong way, folks. We need to do better. We can't let the enemy use this kind of material against us. We can't let unforgiveness rule in our hearts. We can't be unaware of Satan's schemes. Got to operate with forgiveness. Have to. I'm going to tell you why we have to operate with forgiveness no matter what, according to the words of Jesus Christ. When we come back, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Sorry now.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. One topic that has pretty much been dropped from the political conversation is the federal debt. Under President Obama, the debt has nearly doubled from around $10 trillion to $20 trillion. Unfortunately, it could grow even more under President Donald Trump. In the campaign, Trump said he loved debt, having built a successful business career with it. If debt becomes a problem, he said, he would renegotiate it with other countries. A very tough sell. And he talks about lots of federal spending, rebuilding the military, and spending $1 trillion on infrastructure while lowering taxes. It would take an unrealistic amount of economic growth to balance that budget. The growing federal debt is a national security risk, placing too much of our economic future in the hands of other countries such as China. And it is an unfair transfer of responsibility from this generation to the next. One meaningful step would be to finally address overblown entitlement programs, but something must be done about the debt. I'm David Davenport.
Someone who is truly unselfish is generous with his or her time and possessions, energy, and money. Hi there, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Thoughtfulness and a servant's heart are all part of the unselfish spirit. For example, when a husband is unselfish, he subjugates his own wants and desires to the needs of his wife and his family. When a mother is unselfish, she isn't irked by having to give up her plans for the sake of the kids. When an athlete is unselfish, it's the team that matters, not his winning top honors. And by the way, when a Christian is unselfish, others mean more than self. Remember that motto, God first, others second, I'm third.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about how pastors should preach about political issues when they intersect with a biblical worldview.
I think it's more important to help people operate and live from a biblical worldview. And that's what I mean by that is you take an issue, like the life issue, and you look what the Scripture says. Look at the Scripture where it says that, you know, where all human life is created in the image of God. That's the intrinsic value that comes to life because we're created in the image of God. And you can go through Scripture where David talks about being known, that God knew him when he was in his mother's womb. And you just see repeatedly these issues through Scripture. And that's operating from a biblical worldview. And that's how we should make our decision.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Tugboat Todd and I were just talking in the, what do they call that? What do you call that?
Master Control.
That's what that's called? Sounds like a David Bowie song beginning or something, you know, that kind of thing. Anyhow, we were just talking about that. There's a reality to that, to this process, that there's a renter's insurance, whatever. And Tugboat Todd did say, he said, well, I hope that people, you know, catch the bumpers. I know most of you guys get that most of these things either have a really purposeful direct connection or have absolutely no meaning. You just have to figure out which is which. Which, if I have to tell you, then we're all in trouble. Just saying. The idea, though, that we do this renter's forgiveness, this renter's insurance forgiveness mentality, it's like it's true. We do. You forgive somebody, but then you hold or you harbor. And I promise you, that's not forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And the point that him and I had brought up, and one of the points he brought up, which was an excellent point, is, you know, it's a lot better for the person who's doing the forgiving. Because then they're letting go. Instead of letting it eat at you, they're just letting it out. So don't let it eat you. Let it out of you. Oh, that's good. I like that, too. That. Don't let it eat you. Let it out of you. I think Tugboat Todd's going to put that on part of that element right there. So here's what I want to get into. And this is important to me, and that's a major key for living or a major key principle. It's got a lot of scripture in it, but you're going to have to bear with me because I'm doing it anyway. And it's coming out of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Most of you are familiar, and I only want to hit the high points, but you got to, you know, read the text to know what's going on. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Should be noted, some translations say here 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began a settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. His servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me. I'll pay you back everything. The master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. He didn't put him on a repayment program. He's canceled the debt. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient, I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. They told their master everything that happened. That master called the servant in, you wicked servant, I canceled all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. There is so much here. It's just, I could take hours and hours, but let's just talk about what's going on. So Peter comes to Jesus, recognizing Jesus is taking the teachings that they have been raised with, and Jesus is blowing them to smithereens. And so Peter comes back, and he says, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Some later on commentators kind of miss this because the rabbis used to say you can forgive somebody up to three times. And that would be, you know, now you're reaching that maximum point. That's how Hillel thought that that process should be. But then Peter coming in with Jesus is like, hey, double plus one. How about seven times, Jesus? That's a lot, right? It's a lot, huh? Forgiving them? They've done me wrong so many times, Jesus. Seven's a lot, huh? So Jesus says seven times 70 or 77 times, whatever the case may be, whether it's 77 or 490 times, that's missing the point. The point of the teaching that Jesus is giving is pretty clear. That's not a number. So I can forgive them 10 times, 11.67 times, 15.3 quarter 8 minus the metric. It's like, what are you doing? You want God to do that to you? Because you're gone. You're out of here. Right? You're not rounding first to get to second. You were thrown out the second you hit the ball. You got to be kidding. It's not 77 or 490. It's like no limit. And then he gives a story, and he compares $15 million to $1,500. So, you know, I guess it all depends on, you know, where. But his point is, as God is the king, your debt towards God the Father is about 15 mil. Somebody's bad debt against you, about 1,500. let's see, 15 million versus 1,500. Yeah, this is 15 million apples versus 1,500 apples. Let's see. So the difference there is enormous. It's huge. And what God has forgiven you is so big. On a scale of a 1 to 10, it's a 50 zillion. And what you've forgiven somebody is a 2. maybe a 4, depending on how big the scale is. Here's the point. The point is, how can you compare that? We need to be operating in that principle that Jesus told us, which is this. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. And therein lies the rub. Because you can say whatever you want to me. You can say whatever you want to your spouse or your kids or your family. You can say whatever you want to say to yourself in the mirror. But when you stand before God, your heart will be revealed. And so you that forgiveness element is like, well, no, Dave, I really have forgiven them. I've gone through a tremendous amount of abuse through my life. People go, oh, he's been abused. He can't minister. Every single disciple of Jesus Christ has gone through abuse, period. And in that abuse, I think I have forgiven the majority. Have I forgiven everybody of every nuance? I don't think so. Do I know that? Yeah. So what do I pray? Give me a softer heart, Lord. My heart's like stone, right? Because that's what you got to do. Because if I'm not forgiving my brother and my sister in my heart, there's a problem. So it's not an issue, and this is where our breakdown is. It's not an issue of doing all this stuff perfectly when you're going in Scripture. I'm so tired of people trying to communicate that, or they're afraid to read the Bible because if they read the Bible, then they're going to be convicted. Of course you're going to be convicted. You're coming up against the Word of God. Of course you're going to find that. But that's the call for you to go, help me, Lord. Remember, you're not supposed to do this Christianity apart from Christ. You're not supposed to do this stuff walking in the faith apart from God. You need his help, but you don't even know what you need his help for until you're examining it. And that's what Scripture helps you do. So you look at this and you go, ooh, yeah, wow, I need some room. I need some better forgiveness. Right, you do. I do. We all do. We need more reflective Jesus forgiveness. Does that mean that we don't identify when people are committing sin or when some knucklehead group is like being bizarro? No, the truth is truth. One thing's got nothing to do with the other. The truth is if they're anti-Christ, it's like they're anti-Christ and you stand in the truth. That's got nothing to do with you and I going, brother, sister, I forgive you. I mean, I love you. And herein lies that two commandment understanding. If you committed the sin against them, would you want to genuinely be forgiven? Then you should extend that genuine forgiveness to others. That's it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. Well, if you did something wrong and you asked forgiveness and you knew it was wrong, would you like to genuinely be forgiven or would you like it to be kind of fakey? You want it to be real. And that's the principle. The principle, one of the biggest principles, is operating in the forgiveness factor on a regular basis. Because one, things won't eat at you from the inside. And two, you'll be in obedience and compliance with what the Lord desires. And three, you'll start to look like Jesus. And your forgiveness does not give people permission to sin. They have to deal with God, between them and God, on some of those issues, but your job is to do your job, and that's to forgive them and to love on them best you can. I can tell you, when I said that spouse thing, it just made me think of how many people that I've talked with. There's a lot of that tension there. There's a tension between parents and children where parents feel that they've been, ripped off or gypped or something, and it's like, yeah, I got that. Everybody who's being a parent, unless they're just really a kind of a lousy person, is not really trying to mess everybody else's life up. They're often just making mistakes as they're going through. Then you find out when you get older, ooh, I make those mistakes too. Yeah, well, that's just a part of growing up. But the bottom line is this. You have to operate in a genuine forgiveness. And God knows if you're lying. And that's the one you want to care about. You want it to be real. And if you know it's there, but you know you're not doing it for real, then ask him to help you. Say, Lord, I need this to be real. Help me. He ain't deaf, right? I know you're hearing me. All right. I'm going to take a short break and then come back and close it out with what I would consider to be the empowering truth. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Never let you go. Oh.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, "Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done." Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
When we find Christ, we offer our worship.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by James Banks. Many manger scenes depict the wise men or magi visiting Jesus in Bethlehem at the same time as the shepherds. But according to the Gospel of Matthew, the only place in Scripture where their story is found, the magi showed up later. Jesus was no longer in the manger in a stable at the inn, but in a house. Matthew 2:11 tells us, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Realizing that the Magi's visit happened later than we may think provides a helpful reminder as we begin a new year. Jesus is always worthy of worship. When the holidays are past and we head back to life's everyday routines, we still have someone to celebrate. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, in every season. He has promised to be with us always. Because He is always with us, we can worship Him in our hearts every day and trust that He will show Himself faithful in the years to come. Just as the Magi saw Him, may we seek Him too and worship Him wherever we are. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is an excellent way to go about that. Also, the David Spoon Experience, which you can find on Facebook. Remember, the. That's always good. And then finally, don't forget about hisappointment.com. Okay? It's all right?
All right,
just sent a message to Todd. Just making sure that that didn't kind of blow you out of the water, that thing that we just talked about. Let's get into, we don't have a sound for this, do we? Do we have a sound for this? We do. Okay, go ahead and fire away. What do we got? Okay, let's, here it comes right now. And here it goes right now. And here it goes. Da 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 da. That's the best you can do, folks. Okay. All right. That's what we call left hook delayed. Got to have fun, folks. Got to have a little bit of fun. Don't give me a hard time. If you don't have fun, you're not the one. That's all I can say. You know, a merry heart does make like medicine. You know, that's what the scripture says. Nice. People say, well, that's not laughter. It's like, dude, buy a pocket mirror.
If that's the case, I should never be sick, though.
Yeah. Well, that's, well, there you go. Well, if you're always laughing. Aha. The answer is only if the joke is funny. Here we go. Let's get into our last section. It's what I call the empowering truth. And here's the truth that I think that should empower all of us. Ready? We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about, you know, condemning the innocent. We've talked about this process of, you know, examining the fight behind the fight, which means that sometimes there's some warfare that goes on that we are unaware of, that we need to be more aware of, because the enemy is really good at operating in unforgiveness or getting people to operate in unforgiveness. And then we talked about the reality that the key principle for living is defined by Jesus Christ in Matthew 18 in the sense of, I shouldn't say the key, a key for living, a key principle, is operating in forgiveness. And now we're going to conclude with the Colossians passage, which is crucial. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You want the empowering truth? Every time we're having a hard time forgiving, just go back to that one verse. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The scripture says bear with one another, which has to do with putting up with one another. Forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So your parameter for understanding how you should forgive somebody is based on the application of forgiveness given into your life by God. Did the Lord forgive you? I didn't ask if you forgave you. And that can be a very spiritual, interesting question. It can be a very messy psychological question. I'm asking, did God forgive you? And don't tell me, well, I don't feel the forgiveness of God. No, you don't feel a lot of things. Apparently, a lot of people don't feel like letting other people get into the lane in front of them. But that doesn't mean that you don't do it. And feelings are a part of the train system, but they are not the first car. So it's just that simple. So you do it because the Lord has given it to you. And you receive it because you receive the testimony God said regarding his son, Jesus Christ, and as he did so on your behalf. And you extend it because you know the 10,000 times that God has forgiven you and let you off the hook. I mean, you can't say it any other way. In fact, King David said it, I think, one of the coolest things, and you get into the theology, it's so, so cool. But he talked about a man being righteous by understanding that God did not hold his transgressions against him. In other words, a person, by King David's writing, was established as righteous simply because God didn't count his sins. It's like, wow, that's cool. Here's the key. We are to forgive as the Lord forgave us. When you said yes in that kitchen, at that church, in that car with that friend, at that camp, at that meeting, at that movie, at that concert, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, when you became aware that it's all true, there was some moment in that process where you went, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And maybe it happened years later after you've been involved with the church. You just recognize, yeah, man, you've forgiven me a lot. Well, that level of forgiveness that God has granted to you, that's what you're supposed to draw from. That's what you're supposed to pull from. So how much have you done that God had to forgive you for? Is it a lot? Yes, it is. And are you using that as part of your reservoir to give forgiveness to others? Do you get that? We forgive as the Lord forgave us. I want to close with a passage I closed with the other day because it's applicable. Imagine that. James chapter 2, verse 13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. So I always see mercy in one corner of the ring and judgment in the other corner of the ring, and they come out boxing. and mercy punches first and knocks judgment down. That's my vision of it. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We need that mercy to extend that forgiveness. And we need that forgiveness to be like Jesus. I know you get it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, taking a 70-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk at you then.